All right. Well, good morning, everybody out there at the Zooks. We appreciate you guys hosting us. And like I said, nobody got hurt with the knife, which I'm pretty impressed with. I think we had one fake Band-Aid made, right, Kenneth? What would you call it? The electric tape Band-Aid? So, and David's grandson was the recipient of that one. I don't know if he can hear me, but we had a good time, and it was a great time of getting to connect with some of these youth outside of Wednesday night that had been coming, and some that came that I just met for the first time last night. So it was a good time, but this morning we are going to be continuing on in our series on Matthew, and we're going to be in chapter 10. So I encourage you to turn there with me this morning. And as you turn there, so who remembers the slogan, "What would you do for a Klondike bar?" Anybody? I'm sure everybody knows that slogan, right? What would you do for a Klondike bar? Okay. Well, I've never actually had a Klondike bar. And apparently I need to try one because it does look good. But growing up, this would not appeal to me whatsoever. So, but as an adult, I do need to try it. But even though I've never tried one, I'm well aware of their slogan. And through their slogan, Klondike Bar has made many commercials showing the extent people will go for one of their bars. And typically, it's often something very embarrassing or very out there that what they would do for a Klondike Bar, right? And I share that because this morning, we are talking about loving Jesus enough to. So it's almost the same idea. What would you do to love Jesus? Right? So love Jesus enough to dot, dot, dot. What are you willing to do for Jesus? Do we love Jesus enough to fill in the blank? Right? And that's what we're going to be looking at today. But before we get too far into this topic, we're going to look at how we got here. Just a little recap. So, of course, we know that in this chapter, Jesus was about to send his 12 apostles out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in verse 7, the Lord commanded them to preach that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, right? And to confirm this vital message, Jesus gave the apostles the power to perform some mighty miracles. In verse 8, Jesus told them this. He said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give," right? And this was their mission. But the Lord also filled this chapter with important instructions that can still apply to his followers today. For example, in verse 16, he teaches us to walk in the wisdom of the Lord. And then Jesus said, "I am sending you out like sheep surrounded by wolves. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." Jesus also wants us to be aware of our adversaries. So in verse 21 and 22, the Lord said this. He said, "Brother will hand over brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by everyone because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved," right? And lastly, Jesus also wants us to be encouraged by how much God values our lives. So in verse 29 through 31, he said this. He says, "Aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. Even all the hairs on your head are numbered. So do not be afraid. You are more valuable than many sparrows." You see, church, God, he wants us to be encouraged by how much he cares for us. And there are more important instructions that we're going to learn today. These instructions, they focus on the love, on our love for the Lord. So please think about that as we read Matthew 10, verses 32 through 42. I'm going to read through this all for us this morning. So if you're there, join me in chapter 10, verse 32. It says, "Whoever then acknowledges me before people, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before people, I will deny him also before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life because of me will find it. Whoever receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of those little ones in the name of a disciple, I tell you the truth, he will never lose his reward. All right, there's a lot to unpack here this morning, and we're going to do that. And we're going to see that these instructions that Jesus is going to give us, it helps us to focus our love on the Lord, right? And the first way we do that is that we should love Jesus enough to acknowledge that he is our Lord, okay? So that's step one. Our first love, our greatest love, must be for the Lord God Almighty, right? That should be number one. And one of the most important ways to show our love for Jesus is to acknowledge him, acknowledge that he is our Lord and Savior. We see this truth in verse 32 through 33, again, where Jesus said this, "Whoever then acknowledges me before people, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before people, I will deny him also before my Father in heaven." You see, Jesus says here that we need to acknowledge him before men. Now, let me remind you that the original word has the idea of agreeing with someone. That's what we learned about last week, right? That the original word acknowledge here means agreeing with someone and saying the same thing that they say. So acknowledging Jesus before men means that we agree with God. We are truly in unity with him. Okay? We say the same things as Jesus. We do the same things that he does. We take an open stand for Jesus. And we start to speak for the Lord. We start to speak out for the Lord. Or as Jesus told the apostles in verse 27, "What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops." Right? You see, we show our love for the Lord with a public acknowledgement that we have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is the public acknowledgement we do. Okay? And in the church, we do that by asking people to share when they have received Christ. We want you to share that with us. Yes, it's a personal commitment between you and God, but you are encouraged to share that with your church family. Share that with other people. And after that, then we ask you to be baptized as another public way of acknowledging Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Right? I was just having this conversation with Wendell. He asked me, what does baptize mean? Coming home from picking up Pastor Dale's truck for the harvest party. That's part of the step is acknowledging Jesus as our Lord and Savior through baptism. And we also ought to acknowledge Christ in our daily lives, both with words and actions that show that Jesus is in our hearts. Jesus is our Lord, right? I mean, so we all know who Evel Knievel is, right? You've at least heard of him, right? Well, did you know that he didn't spell his name E-V-I-L, like the word? He actually spelled it E-V-E-L. I thought that was kind of interesting. But that's not where I'm going with this. See, this man, he was a motorcycle daredevil who made some amazing jumps back in the 1960s and 70s, right? This man was a, he jumped at many places like Las Vegas and the Snake River Canyon. He also suffered some life-threatening falls. Once trying to jump over the fountain at Caesar's Palace, it left him in a coma for 30 days. Evel also is in the Guinness Book of Records for having more broken bones than any other person. He had 38 broken bones. Now, Evel Knievel passed away back in 2007 from lung disease. He was 69 years old, and it's amazing that he lived that long with his track record of doing these crazy jumps, right? But the great news, church, is that Evel is going to live forever because he trusted in Jesus Christ earlier in that year. And I want to share part of his testimony that he shared in one of his in a book once before. So bear with me. It's kind of long, but so here's part of his testimony. He says, "Before the Daytona Bike Week this year, when I started thinking about God more and more, I called people to talk to them. I don't know why, I just did. I called a friend I hadn't talked to in 30 years, Eldon Wright from the New Hope Community Church in Portland, Oregon. I talked to him, and he called me back a week later saying, 'I've had my whole church praying for you.' And I said, 'That's not the first time that that has happened. You see, my daughter had her entire church praying for me in Bozeman, Montana. And my ex-wife, Linda, had her church praying for me in Butte, Montana. And she has prayed for me for 25 or 30 years that I would become a Christian.' He says, 'I get hundreds of letters from people saying that they are praying for me. So I don't know what in the world happened. I don't know if it was the power of the prayer or God himself. Jesus just grabbed me. All of a sudden, I just believed in Jesus Christ. I did. I believed in him. I don't know what happened to me. The second night in Daytona, I rose up in bed. Then I just got on my knees and prayed that God would put his arms around me and never, ever, ever let me go.'" He goes on to say this. He says, "I know that there's more to life than what I've had. He says, "I wrote a book called Evel's Ways, where I wrote about my tough life growing up. I was a wild person doing crazy things. I wrote about my motorcycle jumps. I wrote about the jump in the Los Angeles Coliseum when I jumped 52 cars all lined up and stacked up. I wrote in my book that I've had a life better than any king, president, or prince. That's hogwash," he says, "because I didn't have Jesus Christ in my life." He says, "I had 5 Rolls Royces. I've had 5 Ferraris, the Stetson, the Lamborghinis. I've had 2 jet airplanes. I've had the diamonds and the gold, the racehorses, women, and the booze. I tell you, I've been a sinner. You're looking at a real sinner, but not anymore. This leap of faith is the greatest leap I've ever taken." What a great testimony of a man who lived life on the edge very often, right? And before his unexpected death, he left instructions that he wanted on his tombstone. You would think his instructions would say, "Evel Knievel, the most daring man alive," or something like that, right? But rather requesting those words about his daring feats, Evel wanted his grave to proclaim the most important thing in his life and in any life. And so he instructed that his grave marker simply say, "Believer in Jesus Christ. He didn't want the glory. He didn't want all the attention after his passing, right? He wanted people to know that he was a believer in Jesus Christ. See, Knievel loved Jesus enough to confess that he was his Lord and Savior. And church, so should we. We should have that desire to share like that. We should also love Jesus enough to choose the Lord over our family, right? Now, this is a big one, okay? It may sound harsh, right? But loving the Lord, it moves us to make the right choices in life. And sometimes the right choices are hard choices. And sometimes this leads to hostile divisions in our families. Jesus made this truth clear in verse 34 through 36. He said this, he said, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household." You see, we can't be surprised, church, by spiritual struggles in our families. We can't let that surprise us. It's clearly stated in Scripture. Sometimes the idea of struggles in our family can be excruciating to think about, to deal with. You see, Jesus began to speak about this hard truth back up in verse 21, didn't he? A couple weeks ago. There he said this, he says, "Brother will hand over brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rise against parents and have them put to death." Right? And again, thank God that that's not the case in our country. But that is not the truth in other countries. Church, if you are blessed to live in a home where everybody loves God and each other, then you are blessed beyond measure. Okay? Because that is not the case for many people. Most families have at least some spiritual struggles. And in those times, we are required to make a choice sometimes. Verse 37 said this, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So does that mean that we're not supposed to love our parents? No, that's not what it means. Otherwise, God would have never given us the fifth commandment in Exodus 20, right? Which says, "Honor your father and your mother, that you may live a long time in the land the Lord your God is giving you," right? That's not what he means. Does verse 37 mean that we should not love our children? No. Again, that's not what he means. Of course not. God wants everybody to love and care for children. Jesus said down in verse 42, this, "Whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones is in the name of a disciple. I tell you the truth, he will never lose his reward." You see, God wants us to love our parents, our children, our neighbors, even our enemies. But the big question is this: who comes first in your life? Who comes first in our life? And the answer is God. It must be God. You see, that's why the greatest commandment from Matthew 22, 37 is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, right? You see, our love for God, it has to come first. It must come first. And it should, because he is the source of every other good thing in our life. Right? He's the source. So do we love our families? Of course we do. And the truth is that the more we love Jesus, the more we will love our families. But in verse 36, Jesus said that a man's enemies would be the people in his own family. And if you're a Christian in countries like Libya or Pakistan, for example, then someone in your family may very well be trying to kill you because of your faith. Remember a few weeks ago, I shared that in 2020, Forbes reported that 260 million Christians live in the top 50 countries where believers face dangerous levels of persecution. And then Open Doors reported that the number of Christians killed in 2020 went up 60% from the previous year. 60%. Like I said, we're blessed here. We don't have that kind of persecution here, but that doesn't mean we never will. Okay? Sometimes the persecution can come from our families, and there comes a time when we have to make a choice, church. Again, in verse 37, Jesus said, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So, if you ever have to choose between God, between Jesus and your parents, choose Christ. If you ever have to choose between Jesus and your children, choose Christ. He's got to be number one. We should love Jesus enough to choose him over our family. Thirdly, this morning, we should love Jesus enough to carry our cross for him. Okay? See, our love for the Lord, it leads us to carry our cross. Jesus said this in verse 38 through 39. He says, "And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life because of me will find it." So carrying our cross. You see, church, this is extremely important. And we know it because Jesus tells us the same thing in six different times throughout the gospel. Okay? I didn't want to share them all, but those are the references that he shares it. It's awfully important when Jesus decides in six different areas to share the exact same thing, right? I mean, it's important when he says it once. It's important when he says it twice. But six times, we need to take note. See, the cross, of course, was an instrument of death. The only reason to take up a cross was to die. That's the only reason someone would take up their cross back in Jesus' time, was because they were going to die. So here is one of the greatest paradoxes of Christian life. And that is, we have to start dying in order to live. The only way we can really live is to die to our own selfishness and let Jesus live his life through us. Okay? Luke 9:23, the Lord put it this way. And this is one of the references, if you were wondering. It says, "If anyone wants to become my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." You see, this means that the Lord's challenge to die to self, it's a daily thing, okay? And the only reason we can do it at all is because as believers, we have been crucified with Christ. But as long as we are in this body, our old selfish, sinful nature can rise up in us. And that's why each day we have to take up our cross again and follow him. But that is why we have to take up our cross and follow him daily. Here in verse 39, Jesus also says this. It says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life because of me will find it." You see, it's almost like a matter of focus, right? What is our focus? You see, the more that we keep focused on ourselves, the more we will miss the life God has planned for us. But if we focus on Jesus, we will find more and more of His abundant life, right? What is our focus? We can see this truth in a story of a little girl and her mother while they were staying overnight with some friends. In their room, their bedroom, one of the wall of the bedroom was a mirror. And on the other wall was a picture of Jesus, okay? And lying in bed, this little girl could see the reflection of Jesus in the mirror. And she wanted to see the picture better, but rather move toward the picture, she moved closer to the mirror. But as she did, she got in the way of the reflection and couldn't see it. And her mother, trying to figure out what this crazy little girl was doing, asked her, "Well, what are you doing? What are you trying to see?" And the little girl says this. She says, "I'm trying to see Jesus, but I keep getting in the way." You see, we have the exact same problem, church. We need to get out of the way and put our focus on Jesus. We keep trying to see Jesus, but in our act of trying to see Him better, we are getting in the way. And instead of seeing Jesus, we see ourselves. We rely on ourselves, right? We need to get out of the way and put our focus on Jesus. We need to start dying to live. We have to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Certainly, we should be willing to take up our cross for Him, because He took up His cross for us. Jesus died on the cross for just one reason, and that's to pay the price for our sins. And now Jesus calls us to do the same, to take up our own cross for Him. And we should love Jesus enough to carry our cross for Him. And we should lastly, I believe, we should love Jesus enough to be fully confident in Him. Okay? See, Jesus Christ is most worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our full confidence. So I want you to notice what happens when we put our trust in the Lord. And the first thing is, it's already up there, is our confidence in Jesus leads us to receive. Okay? In chapter 10, verse 40 through 41, Jesus said this to His apostles. He said, "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward." You want to guess the key word in that section of Scripture? Well, it's receive, right? Receive. God wants to give us so much, but guess what? We have to be willing to receive it. Okay? In John 3:16, Jesus tells us that God loved the world, that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life, right? God the Father gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, but we have to be willing to receive our risen Savior, right? We have to receive it. See, this is true of salvation. This is true of wisdom, love, joy, and all the good things that God wants to give us. We have to be willing to receive them. We have to be willing to receive the Word of God. See, we have to be willing to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have to be willing to receive forgiveness for our sins. And we have to be willing to receive eternal life as a gift from God. Now, I want you to imagine with me for a second that it's your birthday. And guess what? I stop by and I come by and I visit. And I love you so much that I happen, and I also, so you know this is a story, a fictitious story. I love you so much, but I also happen to be very, very rich. Okay? And in my hand is a little box, and it's wrapped. Okay? And inside the box is a key. Maybe it's the key to a $71,000 fully loaded Dodge Ram pickup, which would be a dream for me. Or maybe it's a key to a $1 million home. I don't know. Well, I do know. But you don't know. And I tell you how much I love you. I tell you all about the gift that there's a key in there for you. And I leave the box on the table for you. The key's in the box, and it's yours for the taking whenever you want it, okay? But you never take the wrapping paper off. You never open the box. You never do what you can do with the gift. I really gave it to you, but did you really receive it? No, you didn't receive it. It's just there. It's a paperweight. You see, God's gift of eternal life is something like that. See, Jesus Christ, He paid the highest price for your gift when He died on the cross for you. And now the risen Savior freely offers the gift to you. But guess what? We have to receive it. We have to be willing to take it in and receive that gift. And in order to receive God's gift of eternal life, we don't open a box and we don't so much open a box. Instead, we open our heart, right? We open our heart and we don't take something out. What do we do instead? We let someone in, okay? You see, by faith, you let Jesus Christ into your heart. And by faith, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. That's why in John 1:12 says this, "But to all who have received Him," that's Jesus, "those who believe in His name, He has given the right to become God's children." So my question, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's something you got to think about. And if you have, believe in that confidence, right? We have faith that you have received Him. Our confidence in Christ leads us to receive. And second subpoint is, it leads us to a reward, okay? See, when we trust in the Lord, church, enough to receive Him, we will also receive the rewards that He has promised. I want you to notice with me as I read verse 41 to 42 of chapter 10 again, where Jesus said this. He says, "Whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, I tell you the truth, he will never lose his reward." So if heaven had a daily newspaper, the headlines, I think, would read quite differently than our headlines would here on earth. See, the good deeds which don't get credit on earth would make the front page in heaven's newspapers. So I want you to take a peek with me at this edition of this newspaper. So it's called Heaven's Headlines, keeping you informed about significant events on earth. First headline is this: Kathy S. changes 10,000th diaper, right? Who's changed 10,000 diapers? Not me. That was not my favorite thing to do, but I mean, let's be honest, whose favorite thing to do is to change 10,000 diapers? Rod K. mows neighbor's grass. Headlines. Tony P. gets saved, starts tithing. Max M. delivers brownies to enemy. Gail H. takes meal to sick person. A named widow puts last two coins in treasury box. Right? The little things. Did you know, church, that it's often those little things that we do that has a tremendous effect on people that God loves to see us do? The little things. This means that anyone, including you, can make the headlines in heaven. God not only wants to save us from hell, church, he wants to reward us in heaven. You see, Jesus would not have told us about heavenly rewards if he didn't want us to know about them. If he didn't want us to know about them, he just wouldn't have mentioned them, right? But he does mention them. He could have kept the truth about eternal rewards a big secret to be revealed on the day of judgment, but that's not what he chose to do. Instead, he specifically told us that some things that we do now will be rewarded in the next life. So why did God give us so much information about rewards? Well, I believe he wants us to know that another world exists beyond this life, and that when we serve him, our labor is not in vain. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not about the rewards, okay? The ultimate reward is going to trump any other reward we get in heaven. That's the reward of being in eternity with God, right? But there are other things to come. As I close this morning, as Mel transitions up, see, God is going to reward every little act of kindness that we do in his name, okay? God is going to bless your service in ways that you cannot imagine. You see, we can be the answer to someone's prayer. We can see people saved because of our faithful service, right? That could be us. And I can think of no greater reward than letting myself be used for God's glory. We have to follow the King. We have to let love. We have to let the love of the Lord be enough for us to follow all of his instructions. We have to love Jesus enough to whatever he calls us to do. Right? And if you're a believer, each day, remember as you're taking up that cross, believe that he loved you enough to die on that cross that you are carrying now yourself, your own personal little cross. And remember that 3 days later he rose again from the dead. And remember that he has given you eternal life if you will put your trust in him. Remember that. And if you don't, know that you can. Church, we have to live a life that shows that we love Jesus enough to do whatever he asks us to do. And this morning we're going to close with a song. So I invite you to stand as we sing a song before the Lord.
Thrones above all wonders, the world. known above all wealth and treasures of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all.
This morning. Father, we thank you for your sacrifice you made for us, God. We thank you that you carried your cross to die for our sins. And what did you ask in return, Father God, as us believers, for us to carry our cross for you? Lord, the little challenges in life, Father God, each and every day, we can try to rely on our own strength, or we can rely on your strength to see us through, God. Help us, Father God, to rely on your strength each and every day, Father God. Help us to take up that cross and follow you each and every day, Father God. Lord, we ask that you just help us to live a life that when we ask ourselves what comes first, what comes to mind is you, God. Help that to be our priority, our main priority. And help everything else, Father God, that you make important to love other people, love our families. Let that to stem from our love for you, God. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. We ask that you be with us this week. We ask for your guidance and direction. In your name I pray. Amen.